Next, a gene therapy breakthrough for an inherited motor neuron condition called spinal muscular atrophy, or SMA, has been unveiled by scientists at Oxford University. Patients with SMA can't make sufficient amounts of a protein called SMN, short for survival motor neuron, which is coded for by a gene called SMN1. What Susan Hammond and her colleagues are announcing this week is a DNA sticking plaster, or patch, that can boost the activity of a backup gene called SMN2 that can make up for the missing SMN1. The way they get this genetic patch into the affected cells is by coupling it to a short protein or peptide. The technique restored a normal lifespan to mice with the animal equivalent of spinal muscular atrophy.
Spinal muscular atrophy is an inherited disorder that mainly affects children that starts to present between 0 and 6 months of age. It results in death in the motor neurons in the spinal cord, and these motor neurons, they reach out into the skeletal muscle. So when they die, the skeletal muscle becomes disused and it starts to become degenerated. It's caused by a mutation in the survival motor neuron gene, the gene that's inherited for creating SMA.
Given this is a genetic disorder, how might we be able to tackle it then?
So in SMA, we have two forms of the gene that causes SMA. We have SMN1 and SMN2. And in most of us, SMN1 is fully functional and will give all the protein that is needed to survive and to be healthy. But in patients, there's mutations or deletions in SMN1. So we are left with SMN2, which only gives about 10% of this protein that you need, which isn't enough for survival. So what we try to do is we try to enhance the amount of protein that SMN2 gives.
So there are two genes, SMN1 and SMN2. Mm-hmm. A healthy person who doesn't have this condition has a normally working copy of both, mm-hmm. but SMN1 produces the vast bulk of the protein that you need from that gene. And in people who have damage to that gene, they get this condition, but they do still have the SMN2 gene limping along. And you're saying, can we pep that up in some way in order to bring them up to the level that would make them healthy?
Yeah, so we're quite lucky to have the SMN2 gene that every patient has. So with one kind of treatment, we can target almost 100% of the patients.
Right, so how do you try to persuade SMN2 to rev up its production so that it produces enough of the stuff you need to keep the cells healthy?
So in SMN2, it creates a product which isn't what we would call functional. And what we've designed is these short bits of DNA, which act as a patch in which it can combine itself very well onto these products and therefore make it a functional product.
How do you get those patches into the cells that need them?
On their own, it's very hard to get these patches into the cell. We have designed something which we call peptides, which you could think of as like a passport or a key that you add to these patches. And that really allows these to get into the cell that is required.
How do they work? How do they do that?
It's a little bit unclear. It's very nonspecific. It's the type of charge that these peptides have. And it seems to allow uptake of these patches into the cell.
So you have a lump of protein, these peptides, which you couple to the patch. So one's holding hands with the other, and the passport, the peptide, gets it into the cell, and then the patch, the short sequence of DNA, does the business once it's in the cell.
Yes, exactly.
And does it go everywhere in the body, or does it target the delivery to those motor nerve cells that are most vulnerable in this condition?
It goes everywhere in the body.
So how do you know this works? What tests have you done to show that this has got legs?
We've treated mouse models of SMA that are very, very severe. So these models will only survive till about 12 days after birth. And when we introduce these peptide patches into these mice on the day that they're born, they increase their survival to around a mean of 456 days.
From what, a daily dose or once?
Twice. It's the day of birth and then 2 days after.
Good grief. So two doses is enough almost to give these mice a normal lifespan, because mice don't live that long, do they?
Yes, it's essentially a normal lifespan.
And it goes into the bloodstream?
Yes.
What about the function in these mice? I know you're saying that they have a normal lifespan, but do they appear to be functionally normal? Do they get muscle problems or do they appear not to?
They're essentially normal. They're as strong as normal mice. They are bigger than untreated animals. And they're what we call neuromuscular junctions, which is the area where the nerve hits the muscle. That's completely normal as well.
And do you think that this protein, the peptide passport, will also work in humans?
Well, we certainly hope so. If you inject pups the day that they're born, we say that they have sort of less developed biological barriers. So it would be a bit easier for this to get through the body. But we can do it in the adult animals. And in the adult animals, we still see it getting into the brain and the spinal cord. And so we really hope that this will translate into humans.
And so the next step?
Well, the next step is to try to make this a clinical trial. We are working to get this through all the things that need to happen to put it into a clinical trial, the safety data and that sort of thing. And then in a couple of years, we hope to start recruiting for a clinical trial on this.
A story I'm sure we'll need to come back to. That was Susan Hammond, and the study came out this week in the journal PNAS.